The holidays will be here before you know it, and I have an easy gift idea that surely will fit everyone on your list. It's Osea's limited edition Super Glow Body Set. It includes three of Osea's best-selling body care products at a great value. Plus, it comes in a box so pretty, you may decide to skip the wrapping paper. The Super Glow Body Set includes full-size Undaria Algae Body Oil, Undaria Algae Body Wash, plus a travel-size Hyaluronic Body Serum. If you haven't already become an Osea convert, this is a great way to try their best-selling products at an incredible value. Save 32% on the set at OseaMalibu.com, plus an additional 10% off with code DatingWhileGray. It's your go-to gift for everyone on your list, including yourself. Give the gift of glow this holiday season with clean, clinically tested skincare from Osea. And right now, we have a special discount just for our listeners. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code DatingWhileGray at OseaMalibu.com. Shopping malls are not my thing, especially when I'm looking for holiday presents. Not only because of the crowds, but also I like to find unique gifts. That's why I appreciate Uncommon Goods. They scour the globe for original, handmade, remarkable gifts for everyone on your list, like the Tunisian-tiled handmade serving tray, or how about a box of custom message shortbread cookies? Plus, with every purchase you make, Uncommon Goods gives back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. So far, they've donated more than $3 million. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/datingwhilegray. That's uncommongoods.com/datingwhilegray for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. This is Dating While Gray, the grown-up's guide to love, sex, and relationships. I'm Laura Stassi. On today's episode, advice from a sex journalist. Michael Castleman has spent almost 50 years covering sexuality, sex research, and sex therapy. His blog for Psychology Today has received more than 50 million views, and he's the author of several books, including Sizzling Sex for Life, Everything You Need to Know to Maximize Erotic Pleasure at Any Age. Great title, don't you think? I interviewed Michael in 2021 for the Dating While Gray episode Sex Education. There was so much more to cover that Michael graciously agreed to continue our conversation at a Facebook Live event. Today, we're bringing you excerpts of our talk. And heads up, our conversation is about sex, so it gets explicit. You may want to be aware of who's listening with you. So you write about sex for people of all ages. And I love that as your career has grown, you've aged along with your career. I'm wondering what the biggest surprise has been for you about sex when you're in your 20s and 30s versus sex when you're 50 or older?
I think the biggest surprise is that sex can get better as you get older. The myth is, particularly among young people, is that sex is for the young, and that at a certain point, you're just too old for it, and you retire from sex like you retire with a gold watch from your job. That's all true if you substitute the word reproduction for sex. Reproduction is for the young.
Yeah.
But sex is for everybody. And sexual pleasure, erotic pleasure, never fades. In fact, sex is really, when you're young, you think sex is about joining genitals. When you get older, what you realize is that sex is really about loving touch all over the body that eventually focuses on the genitals, but it's really about whole body touch and massage. And, you know, as you get older, your eyes go bad, your hearing goes bad, you can't smell as well as you used to, you don't taste as well as you used to, but The one sense that does not diminish with age is the sense of touch. And so as other senses start to fade out, the sense of touch remains extremely acute, and some people say even becomes more acute with age. And since lovemaking is really about mutual loving touch, the older you get, the more fun you can have, as long as you let go of the idea that sex is about intercourse. Because when you get older, intercourse becomes increasingly problematic. Older men have erection issues. Older women have vaginal lubrication and dryness issues. And at a certain point in the 50s and people's 60s, they just start thinking, my God, you know, even with Viagra, this is like a hassle trying to accomplish intercourse. Let's not do that anymore. Let's play in all the other ways that you can. And sex therapists even have a word for it, that you let go of intercourse and you embrace what they call outer course, which is everything but. And there's a whole lot of wonderfully marvelous fun things that are open to lovers who just give outer course a chance.
I want to get into that more, but first we have a question from Chris. And Chris wants to know, can we expect libido to dramatically decline with age for men and for women?
Yes and no. First of all, the operant thing here is that everyone is sexually unique. So there are patterns to this, but how you feel about your sexuality and your libido as you age, that's you and only you. There's a lot of studies to show that women going into menopause, menopausal women from about age 45 to 55, often suffer a significant decline in libido. And that is for many reasons, you know, realization of the end of their reproductive years, the, you know, getting older, losing their looks. This is very hard on a lot of women. It's hard on men too, but it's more hard for women because women are more judged by their appearance than men are. But the research also shows that after about age 55, a lot of postmenopausal women recover a sense of joy in life, and they recover their libidos, that their libidos can go up. And at any age, if you fall in love, you're going to have a real spike in your libido, whether you're 22 or 82. Now, if you fall in love at 82, it's not like you're going to, it's not like the 4th of July with fireworks, and it's not like sex at 22, but it can be just as deeply emotionally fulfilling. And as long as you keep a sense of humor about the, you know, physical aspects of trying to make love when people have arthritis and health problems, you can have a tremendous amount of fun in bed and or on the sofa or at the beach, wherever, at any age. There is no expiration date to lovemaking and sexual enjoyment.
Yeah, somebody just commented that it's true, use it or lose it, because one person's 67 and the other person's 65 and they're having a great time. So use it or lose it. It brings me back to something that you touched on, and we actually talked about it a little bit in the episode, but I think it bears repeating, and it's almost how we define sex and sexual intimacy, that sex is not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily involve a hard penis, whereas it might have used to involve a hard penis. You can have a fulfilling sex life absent a hard penis.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, well, do you have more to say?
No, I was going to say, so I want to talk about that a little bit, because it's not just penetration, because I do think a lot of older people, we think of sex equals penetration. And
right,
you say what?
Well, like I said, older people who remain sexual generally evolve away from intercourse. It's just too hard. You know, very few men use erection drugs. Many of the men who use erection drugs, they don't work that well. Women have vaginal dryness. You know, even with lubricant, a lot of women find intercourse uncomfortable. And then people have health problems. You have arthritis and aches and pains. It's hard to, you know, negotiate the postural elements of intercourse a lot of time. And so, you know, the first thing is to have a sense of humor about it, that we can still have fun even if we can't do X. But the other thing is to realize that lovemaking is really about mutual massage and touch. And if you're touching each other, if you're bathing each other, if you are just holding each other, cuddling, kissing, I mean, kissing is one of the underappreciated elements of sex. In pornography, people almost never kiss. It's all just genital connection. For a lot of people, kissing is really one of the most important elements of lovemaking, and they feel deeply dissatisfied if their lovemaking doesn't involve a lot of kissing. And so I encourage people to enjoy what they enjoy together and just do more of it. The phrase "use it or lose it" is literally true. You know, women, the vaginal tissue of older women experiences a phenomenon called atrophy, which means thinning. The tissue gets thinner, and as the tissue gets thinner, women can have more irritation when anything enters the vagina. So chances are erections aren't going to be doing it, because after about 65, most men have significant erection problems, issues. And some of them use drugs, but most of them don't. But other things can find their way inside women, for example, fingers, tongues, sex toys. And women who use sex toys and insert them, it helps prevent vaginal atrophy.
Let's talk for a moment, because you did make the point on the episode that statistically most women do not have orgasms from penetration. Is that correct?
Yes. And in fact, it's the more that scientists study this issue, the fewer women, it turns out, have orgasms during intercourse. I mean, orgasms during intercourse for women are possible, but they are not common. It's only a small percentage of women who are consistently orgasmic from intercourse. And men just don't know this and don't believe it. Because as far as men are concerned, that's, you know, if men slip an erection into a receptive erotic opening, around 95% of the time, the guy's going to have an orgasm. But with women, it's fewer than 25%. And it's the latest research that I've seen is that it's really only about 5% of women who are consistently orgasmic from intercourse. The vast majority of women need direct clitoral caresses to be orgasmic. And this can be accomplished during intercourse. The clitoris can be massaged during intercourse, but a lot of women, in surveys of women about how they enjoy having orgasms, the single most popular way that women like to have orgasms is from cunnilingus, from oral sex, which pretty much excludes intercourse if you're just two people. In a threesome, you can do that, but intercourse plus cunnilingus. But but if you're just two lovers, oral sex is what most women say they prefer. And I hasten to add for the men listening here, don't assume that. Ask your lover what she likes. Maybe she likes something different.
But this is a very serious conversation. I just tend to giggle when it comes to sex talk, so I apologize for
Key thing is to ask. And like I said, everyone is sexually unique. You can't assume you know what someone's going to like sexually any more than you can assume that someone you're dating, you're going to know what foods they like. You know, people have all kinds of food idiosyncrasies. They have the same thing about, you know, where they want to travel, the clothes they want to wear, the TV shows they want to watch, and the kind of lovemaking they enjoy. So the first thing is, really, it's important to ask and coach your lover about what you like and how you like it. And my book has a whole chapter on sexual coaching made easy. So it's intimidating to say, no, let's not do that, or yes, let's do that. But it doesn't have to be. There are easy ways to coach your lover about what you want in your intimate moments in bed. And that's the key thing, to negotiate and find out what you both enjoy, and then do more of it.
So that brings up a good question from someone. So we need to talk about what we like and what we don't like. And we'll get to in a moment to how you figure out what you want so that you can communicate that to a partner. But someone asks, since STIs and COVID viruses are an issue, at what time should a dater get STI testing? How do you talk about STI testing? Because even though, so we did talk in the episode that you're more likely, you know, that the incidence are higher among younger people, but the incidence are growing among older people. Right. So people listening to this are more likely than maybe other people to run into this issue because we're dating. So how do we, how do you talk about that? And what kind of testing should we get done?
Well, as I said last time, the incidence of sexually transmitted infections among people over 50 is less than 10% of the prevalence in people in their 20s. So older people do not have much risk. On the other hand, with more late life divorce and widowhood and people thinking that they, you know, they're not going to retire from sex, there's more interest in dating and sexuality among this generation of older people. And STI rates have increased slightly among older people, which gives us headlines with public health authorities saying, oh my God, older people, you know, use condoms, whatever. My attitude toward it is that discussing sexually transmitted infections is a wonderful way to ease into a lover relationship with a new friend. You know, you can say, you know, young people, when they make love, the typical way they do it is they get smashed drunk and then they wind up in bed, and that's what happens. And there's no real time to talk about contraception or sexual infections. Older people can say to each other without too much difficulty, hey, you know, I like being with you. I would love to be sexual with you. I don't have any sexual infections, but, you know, why don't we go get tested together? And then we get our results. If they're both negative, well, then we can have a really good time together. So I think it's a way to, you know, ease into lovemaking with a new older lover. And at the same time, it shows that you care about their health, you respect them. And isn't that what you want from a lover? Do you want someone just to say, here, drink this bottle of tequila, and then we're going to get it on? Or do you want someone to say, look, I really care about you. I care about your health and safety. I hope you care about mine. And let's do this like mature adults. And when we both test negative, I'm going to be so turned on, I'm going to want to jump into bed with you. So that's what I would suggest.
So someone commented that people should get tested every year they are dating. Do you agree with that?
Well, yes. I mean, people who are dating and meeting and being sexual with a series of new people, that's what increases your risk. So periodically, I would suggest getting tested. I'm not going to say it should be every year. I mean, it could be every 6 months. It could be every 9 months. Who cares? It's just the idea that the more different partners you have, the greater your risk. And think about it. I mean, do you want to have to make that phone call to a bunch of people you dated saying, oh, gee, I'm sorry, but I turned up, I have chlamydia. I mean, it's so much easier and so much happier just to get tested in advance. And if you're dating people, older people generally are not immediately jumping into bed with each other. There's plenty of time to get tested. And public health departments all over the country do this routinely. These tests are not hard to get. So I encourage people to be responsible, be safe. And then, you know, lovemaking is really about mutual relaxation. And if you're both clear that you're both negative, you don't have any STIs, it's a lot easier to relax and have more fun in bed.
Yeah. I also just want to mention that the CDC website has all kinds of information about sexually transmitted infections. And I think we all kind of are terrified about them, but they're not necessarily dangerous. They're rarely fatal. I mean, it's like, I think it behooves all of us, if we're going to be sexually active, just to learn everything we can about our risks, talk to our physicians, go to the website.
Michael Castleman does not like foreplay, the word, not the actions. We'll hear why after the break. It's not too early to start thinking about New Year's resolutions. One of mine? Travel more. Like Portugal, I've never been. I know learning my host country's language can make any trip more meaningful. Plus, studies have shown that learning a new language can improve memory and problem-solving skills, maybe even delay the onset of dementia. I'm planning to make Rosetta Stone my language teacher. It's the trusted expert for 30 years, with millions of users and 25 languages. It offers fast language acquisition with a speech recognition feature that gives feedback on pronunciation. It's also convenient. You can learn anytime, anywhere with the mobile app or at your desktop. And here's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. That's 25 language courses for 50% off. That should cover every place on your bucket list. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Dating While Great listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. Okay, women, who among us has not had hormonal issues? We're not only dealing with changes our bodies go through, but also hormonal disruptors in our environment. The good news is there's help. It's by Happy Mammoth, and it's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. And maybe the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews of Hormone Harmony. And there are more than 30,000 reviews to date. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DATINGWHILEGRAY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DATINGWHILEGRAY for 15% off today. I love this time of year because whether it's a pullover or a button-up, I love sweaters. Quince is my go-to site. They're known for Mongolian cashmere sweaters priced from $50. In fact, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's because they partner directly with top factories. That cuts out the cost of the middleman, allowing the savings to be passed on to customers like you and me. And Quince works only with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing processes. So check out their sweaters. They also have beautiful leather jackets and so much more. Get cozy in Quince's high-quality wardrobe essentials. Go to quince.com/datingwhilegray for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/datingwhilegray to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/datingwhilegray. Sex toys and sex talk. Here's more from Dating While Gray's Facebook Live event with Michael Castleman. And a reminder that our conversation gets explicit. You mentioned erectile dysfunction drugs and that they don't often work. And then you also mentioned vibrators. And I know you have information in your book about statistics on women and vibrators. And I know that men typically, we don't think of men and vibrators, but can men use vibrators and do they work on men?
Yes. Yes, men can use vibrators. More than half of American women, of adult American women, now own at least one vibrator. And so vibrators used to be a sort of fringe, item. Now they are entirely mainstream. The largest marketer of vibrators in the United States is Walmart.
No.
They are not in little boutiques, on the wrong side of the tracks anymore. Vibrators are totally mainstream. Most women do not use them in partner sex. Most women use them solo for self-sexing, which is fine. Some women use them with men, and I'm all for it. If you like playing with toys together, have at it. Have fun. There are now special vibrators that are made for men. For example, vibrating penis sleeves that are artificial mouths or vaginas that can vibrate. And there are men can use other vibrators, pressing them against whatever part of their body they like. So, vibrators are just another way to play. Sex really is about adult play. And just like children in a playground, some kids like the swings, some kids like the slide, some kids like the sandbox. Does it say anything about them? No, it's just how they like to play. The same thing about adults. Some people like intercourse. Some people like oral sex. Some people get into kinky stuff. It's just how they like to play. And if you like to play with a vibrator, there's no limit to the number of vibrators you can get. I mean, go to any sex toy catalog. I'm friendly with the people who run Adam and Eve, which is the biggest sex toy company in the United States. They sell hundreds of different kind of vibrators for every conceivable occasion, including waterproof, if you like it in your bathtub or swimming pool. So if you're attracted to vibrators, look at a catalog. I'm sure there are products for you.
Great. Walmart, who knew? I thought you had to look at a catalog online or something. I wanted to talk about, you mentioned in your book the 10 basic ingredients of sex. Can you talk about those real quick? What are they or what those include?
Well, let's see. See if I can remember them all. Well, the first is pleasure. Sex is really about pleasure. It's not about scoring or conquering anybody. It's not about, it's rarely about making children. I mean, people who are sexual, they spend only a tiny minority of their sexual encounters have anything to do with having kids. So it's really about pleasure and mutual closeness. And then after that, people need to get to know themselves and the teacher. What teaches people about how they respond sexually is solo sex, self-sexing, the M word that I'm sure your listeners are familiar with. But many people feel threatened by that word. And so I usually go by self-sexing or self-pleasuring or solo sex. That is how people discover how they have orgasms. And that's how people discover what they like, how they like to be touched. And you're never too old for it. It's always available. It's very relaxing. In fact, as far as men are concerned, men self-sex for stress management a great deal, a lot more than women. And there are studies to show that about 25% of women say they self-sex for stress management. About 85% of men say that. So, and then beyond self-sexing, there is consent. You want to, like I said, sex is not a conquest. Sex is a mutual pleasure, and it's not pleasurable if people aren't consenting. And I have a whole chapter in my book about sexual consent. You've got to hear the other person say, yes, I would like to be sexual with you in some way, shape, or form. They have to say that. And like I said earlier, young people, that doesn't happen a lot because young people generally make love drunk. And so there's not a lot of time for consent. And that's when you get into problems with sexual assault, where one person says, well, I thought she consented. And she says, I never did. So consent is critical. And then touch. Touch is, if self-sexing is the key to understanding how you respond, then mutual touch is the key to understanding how the other person responds. Lovemaking really fundamentally is gentle, playful, extended, mutual whole body massage that eventually focuses on the genitals. And so a lot of people, men in particular, dismiss touch as, oh, foreplay, who's got time for that? Let's just get to the real action. Actually, if you don't engage in gentle, playful, whole body massage, it's just not going to be as much fun. And so if your goal is pleasure, and I think that's my goal anyway, if your goal is pleasure, then mutual whole body massage is very, very important.
And did you say you don't like the expression foreplay?
Correct. I use the term love play.
Love play.
Love play. Foreplay says it's something that happens before the main event, which is intercourse. And if you're older, chances are intercourse isn't happening at all. So foreplay, what does that mean? It's just all about pleasure and touch and having fun together, skin to skin, body to body, lips to lips. And as far as men are concerned, I always encourage men to kiss both sets of lips all the time.
Yeah, that's every time. Yes, we do. That was a great soundbite from the episode. I've just got a couple more things. You in your book, you talk about a couple things that we can do to sort of guarantee, to make it more likely that we'll have pleasurable sexual experiences. One is when we do it. Can you talk about that real quick? Some tips for making sure that we have better encounters.
Well, for older adults, one of the key things is look at the time of day when you make love. Most people, when they're young, make love late at night. And older people, that just doesn't work for a lot of older people. A lot of older people, they're tired, they're achy, they're cranky, they're creaky, and they just don't have a whole lot of erotic energy, 10, 11 o'clock at night. But 3 in the afternoon or in the morning, a lot of older people have much more erotic energy earlier in the day. And yes, it's an adjustment. If you've made love at late at night for 50 years, and then all of a sudden your new partner is saying, well, how about after lunch? It's an adjustment, but you know what? It's fun, I think. I mean, in my opinion, I prefer to make love when I have more energy. So that's one thing. The other thing is that, as I mentioned, young people generally make love under the influence of alcohol. And in fact, alcohol is used by lovers of all ages. And it is the number one drug that is associated with sex. A lot of older people, if you want to have a glass of wine or two before you make love, it's up to you. It's not up to me. But I would look at your alcohol consumption because the more alcohol you drink, the more difficult it is to be sexually responsive. Men are going to have much more trouble with erection if they have consumed alcohol. Women are going to have more trouble with sexual responsiveness. So take a look at your alcohol and make a decision. I also think people who enjoy making love under the influence of some intoxicant might look into cannabis. Cannabis has been... There are numerous studies to show that about two-thirds of people who mix cannabis and sex call it sex-enhancing. Now, that means one-third of people don't. One-third of people generally, the people who don't like to mix sex with cannabis generally say, oh, when I use cannabis, I sort of withdraw into myself and it's harder for me to make an erotic connection with my partner. If that's the case for you, then don't use cannabis with sex. But two-thirds of people in surveys, and some of these surveys are quite large, and so they're credible, two-thirds of people say that cannabis is sex-enhancing at any age. If you have legal access to cannabis, it's worth a try. It's worth experimenting to see if you like it.
Okay, I'm just looking to see if there are any questions. Does anybody have any questions? Let me just look at this one. Yeah. Long-time married couples and sex, are they having it, and does it play a role in marital happiness?
Again, everyone is sexually unique. There are many people who are in happy sexless marriages. Happy sexless marriage is quite possible. There are also many people who have happy marriages who have very infrequent sex, you know, a couple times a year on their birthdays and anniversaries. But most people, most of the time, in all ages, enjoy regular lovemaking. And for couples under 40, the most typical frequency is about once a week. And for couples over 40, the most typical frequency is 2 to 3 times a month. And that doesn't mean you should do that. No. What you should do is talk to your partner and negotiate how often the two of you would like to make love at a frequency you can both live with happily and enjoy each other's intimate company. But many older people are quite sexually active, and older people who are dating are want to get to know their love interests in every way. They want to get to know who they are, and that includes getting to know who they are sexually. So, there's a myth that duration of relationships, the longer that relationships go on, the more boring the sex becomes. And that is often true, not because sex is inherently boring after a while, but because people stop working on making it fun and interesting. One of the key elements, one of the ingredients of great sex is novelty, because novelty stimulates the release of dopamine in the brain, and dopamine is the neurotransmitter of pleasure. So when you're doing new things, you feel pleasure. And many couples, anybody who's ever been married or in a couple knows that sex is often more fun in hotel rooms than it is in your bedroom. Why is that? Well, because you're traveling, you're doing new things, the hotel is different. It's novel. It's a novel new thing. And so novelty is a key element of sexual pleasure. And that's why sex is often really fun when people are dating, because you're getting to know someone by doing lots of new things with that person. So if you're in an established couple, you can keep doing new things. You can keep dating your spouse for life. And if you keep that commitment to novelty, then the sex is going to feel better.
There is one final comment from someone. I've been divorced 30 years, just turned 60. Obviously, I've been in a few relationships during this time. I have learned to express what works for me, and I like to know and discover what turns them on. However, I have found in recent years, men don't like this. They claim that I am, quote, more experienced than they are. She says it's pretty disappointing they have that feeling because it can end their relationship. So do you have any comment about that? I mean, can a woman knowing what she wants and asking a partner what he wants, can that be a turnoff for men?
Unfortunately, yes. Yes, men, some men are turned off by women who seem more experienced than they are. And women who are highly sexual, about 5% of women are highly sexual, which means they really like sex a whole lot. And a lot of men are very threatened by that. I can't keep up with this gal. Ooh, you know, how am I going to cope with this? And it goes against people's general socialization. People are generally socialized to believe that men are going to be the initiators. Women are going to be the gatekeepers saying yes or no. And that's how it works. Well, often it doesn't work that way. I mean, when couples go to sex therapy for desire differences, about half the time it's the woman who wants more sex and the guy who wants less. So to this gal who says that men are threatened when she talks about how much she enjoys sex, I'm very sorry that you are having this experience, but you have to own who you are. And at some point, I hope you find a guy who says, oh, you really like sex? Hey, let's check it out. I'm glad to hear it. Tell me all about yourself.
Let's read Michael's book, Sizzling Sex or Life.
So I hope that to that person who asked that question, all I can say is may all your dreams come true. I hope you find the guy who isn't threatened by your experience and your sexual inclinations.
Thanks to Michael Castleman, author most recently of Sizzling Sex for Life, everything you need to know to maximize erotic pleasure at any age. Michael also answers questions on sex and intimacy at his website, greatsexguidance.com. Speaking of sex and wellness, we're talking to another expert. She'll be sharing her knowledge on an upcoming episode. For more information, check out this week's bonus content page on datingwhilegray.com. Dating While Gray's audio production and mix is by Steve Lack Audio. Theme music by D. Peter Schmidt. Please like and follow Dating While Gray wherever you get podcasts. That way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're so inclined, leave a review letting everyone know what you love about us. For more on the show, check out datingwhilegray.com. That's where you can find bonus content, along with links to send me questions, comments, tips, and true stories through email and voicemail. You know I love hearing from you. You can also sign up for the free Dating While Gray e-newsletter, delivered most Fridays to your inbox. Also at datingwhilegray.com, click on the Sponsors tab to find discount codes from our show's sponsors. Please support the companies that support Dating While Gray. To make a more personal gift, click on the Support Us tab. Again, that's all at datingwhilegray.com. I'm Laura Stassi. Thanks so much for listening.